It is said, and I believe rightly so, that the Christian life is not lived out on a playground. The Christian life is lived out on a battleground. And thus the importance of us being good soldiers of Jesus Christ, as described in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3, is vitally important. We even sing the song, Christ, Soldiers of Christ, Arise, to bring us to a rallying point and to understand exactly our responsibility. And yet we, as soldiers of the Commander-in-Chief, Jesus Christ, we understand exactly what He wants from us. In other words, we understand His marching orders, and our responsibilities and orders are clear, they're understandable, and they're doable. After all, some things in life are just, well, you just can't count on. I can assure you this morning that if you eat watermelon seeds, they'll not grow out your ears. I promise you that. You can kind of lay that one by the side. I can also promise you that if you swallow a piece of gum, it will not take 7 years to digest. Okay? You can carry that one to the bank. Even I've heard that if you bite your fingernails, it'll cause cancer. That's really not true, okay? There's just some things that we can't count on, things that we've been told that we know are not true, but the words of Jesus and the commands, the marching orders for His church, for Christians, for Christian soldiers, they're clear, concise, and they're doable. Paul said, I've fought a good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. And as he understood his responsibility, so do we. I believe in the passage in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 10, we have such orders when Paul said this, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's clear. We understand that. That's doable. He goes on to say, Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. He said, Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. But he doesn't conclude there. He goes on to say, And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. In the last two verses of this reading, down through verse number 20, Paul gets very personal when he says, And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. As soldiers in the army of the Lord, what great responsibility we have to wage the war from the victory that Christ has provided us at the cross in the open grave, and to fight forward and onward for that great and wonderful day in which we will be gathered around the great feast table in the sky so that we can enjoy that wonderful feast throughout all of eternity. And yet we're even told in Luke the 6th chapter, verse number 23, that we should follow Him, that if we do follow Him, we should deny ourselves, take up His cross daily and follow Me. The marching orders of a soldier of Jesus Christ. Associated and connected with Christ with inseparable unity. That we cannot, we should not, we will not defect. We will not go AWOL. We will not shirk our duty. But we will uphold His greatness and praise His grandness. But in doing so, we understand that there must be exercise and training and discipline as New Testament Christians. Paul to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 verses 7 and 8 especially, he emphasized that we're to reject profane and old wives' fables. And have you ever heard one? You know, if a bird flies in a window, that means somebody in the family is going to have a baby. Or any number of things, you know, that you can identify that I was preaching one time and I was visiting a congregation and I'd asked one of the elders' wives what an old fable was, and she told me one, and I got up and I said, I asked Sister So-and-so what an old wives' fable was, and it kind of got away with her because I called her an old wife, you know. But nonetheless, there are some things that we just leave behind. We're not going to focus on. We're going to reject because they'll do us no spiritual good. They'll do us no good in the army of God. But Paul goes on to say that we're to exercise ourselves or yourself toward godliness. Now, bodily exercise, it profits. And we get out and we walk and we go to the gym and we work out. And that is good, well, and fine. And according to our doctor, we should do it and we better do it. But how much in the great scheme of things does it profit? Paul says it profits a little. But there is something that is greater, that is grander than bodily exercise, and that is godliness or spiritual exercise. He said, godliness profitable in all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. It'll be for now and eternity. And that is the godliness, the spiritual exercise under which and in which we engage. Now there in that verse, there the word exercise is a very important word. And like I've said before, you don't have to know the Greek language to go to heaven. And that's a good thing. Well, let me share with you the word that it comes from, gunazo. That is the word exercise. It means to train, to discipline yourself, to exercise. It talks about a kind of a holy sweat. You know, a spiritual workout so that we grow stronger. After all, the saying is true, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. And that is true with a muscle or a tendon or a physical aspect, but infinitely greater is it with a spiritual context. Gunazo is the word for exercise. Now, you might not recognize the word gunazo, but you will recognize the English word that we get gunazo, or we get from gunazo, because we get the word gymnasium from that. And after all, what do? In a gymnasium, we work out and we exercise and we train and we have that sweat and we discipline ourselves. Why? So that we can grow stronger, better. Our agility can improve. In a spiritual context, we understand the value that is even greater, because we become stronger in peace and joy and discipline and studying God's Word and carrying God's Word to others. And yet in regard to that, we understand this cross-training, I like to call it. This cross-training is indispensable. It is vital to our spiritual existence. One of the areas of cross-training is petitionary prayer. As we have been singing this morning and even studying in our Bible classes, prayer, we can't live without it. And Paul, as we read just a minute ago, emphasizes the importance of prayer and its place. But petitionary prayer is very valuable for us as Christians and as for us as a church. But when we see the benefit of it, we truly understand how blessed we are with it. Because we often ask the questions, well, what is it? The word petitionary has the root petition. And we understand what a petition is. We make a request. We make known. We beseech. We beg. We utter. We speak. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7 and verse 7. Prayer is not something that we engage in a passive manner. Prayer is something of an aggressive nature. We put our mind, our heart, our soul, and even our strength into gear. And we move forward and upward in regard to what God has told us. But how does it work? How does it bless us and benefit us? Well, folks, it makes us stronger, a better soldier of Jesus Christ. It helps us to be the kind of individual that can serve as an example for those with which we encounter each and every day. Take, for example, when you're at a restaurant and you look over to another table beside you, maybe across the way or something, and you see that family or those people bowing their heads in prayer, what do you think? Do you, in your mind, say, way to go, attaboy, I appreciate that. What a good example. I do the same, you see, because you see, it's an influence. And I'm thankful that there are people out there in our world that still pray today. Let us keep on providing that example for them and have that example for us. That's how. But the why is really important. The importance of the why is there, and we'll take a look at a few things just a minute for me. The importance of prayer. It's important in all areas of life. Take, for example, within a home. Peter in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7 says there's enough things that are going to hinder our prayer life, but for husbands and wives, don't let your prayer life be hindered. Husbands, wives, pray for each other and with each other each and every day of your life. But also the importance of righteousness. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, or accomplishes much, James says. Just the other day, I had a conversation with an individual that said, I just don't know why what I want is not happening. It's not occurring. Why? And I simply, and I underscore the word simply, I simply asked, have you prayed about it? Well, no. No, I haven't. Sometimes people forfeit blessings in their lives for having a prayer life that is not active. James says that here it will accomplish much, and also it's important for all people. Paul told Timothy to pray for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and following. And even in regard to what we find in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, love your enemies. Bless them that in essence treat you badly. Do good to them. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Folks, if I didn't have prayer in regard to those relationships, I'd spend my life depressed, forlorn, and in a corner. We go on and we think about the importance of being in Christ. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, about 3,000 souls gladly received the word and were baptized. They, according to verse number 42, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer. We should do the same. Philippians 4 and verse 6, let your requests be made known unto God. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 17. Don't let there be a halting gap or a stagnant place within your prayer life. Pray without ceasing. Keep on keeping on. And as we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. James 4 and verse number 8. What about those that love Christ? For He is the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And our prayers go through His conduit. There's the why. But yet I go back with you in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18. Paul there in the midst of the text we read momentarily. There he says in verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. How does that show us and demonstrate to us this power of this petitionary prayer? Notice just a few of these thoughts with me this morning from that verse as we dissect it and draw it together. First of all, that phrase there, praying always, that continual aspect of prayer. Not taking a day off or a week's vacation from prayer. God's not taking off from us, and He'll never do that. May we never cease from speaking to Him. The prayer called for here is not so much the articulation of words as it is the posture of the heart. to have a continual dialogue with God when we're at work or at play or doing things around the house would be an impossibility. But we posture ourselves in regard to prayer with God, that we live a prayer-filled life each and every day. And I can do it and you can do it. Paul says there, secondly, that we should involve ourselves with all supplication, that is, prayer and supplication. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 says that prayer is to be a priority. Paul said, I exhort therefore that first of all. And then he mentions four different kinds of prayers. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. Two of these are mentioned here. Prayer and supplication. We understand the general word prayer to encompass all the avenues by which we communicate with God. Supplication, of course, deals with that petition. God, we have a need. Whatever that need might be, whether it's domestic or social or spiritual or civil or economic, whatever the need might be, we know where to go. And we know the one and only one that can meet our needs. Paul in Philippians 4 said, God is sufficient to meet all of our needs. And therefore we pray a prayer of supplication. God, please supply in my life that which is either lacking or that which is deficient. I need you, God, because I cannot make it without you. There's the power of petitionary prayer. Paul describes in the third place this, what I like to call in spirit prayer. There he says that we're involved in praying in the Spirit. We notice back up in the earlier section of this, in the earlier passage in Ephesians chapter 6, that as we're putting on the armor of God, he says for us to take the sword of the Spirit. There, the Spirit and the sword are seen to be synonymous at not only there, but Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And how the Word of God is compared in a number of ways to a hammer, to a rock, to a mirror, and many other analogies that we see here. We understand that we're praying in the Spirit, that is, within the Spirit's will. Back in Romans, the 8th chapter, in verses 26 and 27, Paul said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we shall pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He goes on in verse 27 to say this, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What is the will of God in our lives? We understand that God has made known His will to us. He has used His Spirit, God's Spirit, that is referred to as holy, to communicate to humanity His mind, His will, His purpose. And in doing so, we have something that is tangible today. We have the Word of God. And as we investigate and learn more of the Word of God, more of the understanding of God will dwell within us, as we're told, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And as we understand the parameters and the extents and the ups and the downs and the ins and the outs, the goes and the not goes, and we understand all of God's will, we understand how we can pray in spirited prayer. I live within the parameters that God has set for me through His Word, and that is where I live. It's only when people start stepping outside of those parameters and those dividing lines do they find themselves, as we might say, sometimes in hot water or in difficult situations. But when we stay within the will of God, there is the power that we find in this prayer, because we do what God has revealed through His Spirit for our lives. Paul, in the fourth place, he says, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications. Well, in regard to that, we understand that there is oftentimes the persistence, and we need to have persistence in our prayer. I'm here to tell you today, it's not wrong to pray more than once for a particular thing that is needful in your life or in others. Luke 18 and other passages tell about the parables of Jesus that communicate the importance of praying to God regularly, to speaking to Him often. And yet here in this passage we're told to be watchful, being watchful in this end. We keep on doing this as long as we are living. We know there is an end in sight. But as long as that end has not occurred, we will keep on and continue. Oh, how persistence is needed. You know, sometimes this persistence can be aided or provided by others. I go back to the Old Testament there in Exodus chapter 17 when the nation of Israel, the Hebrews, they've come out of Egyptian bondage and they're on the way to Mount Sinai to receive God's law. And on the way, they're attacked by a group of people called the Amalekites. God makes provision for their survival in that attack. And here we find in Exodus 17, Moses standing up on a mountain or a hill overlooking the valley where the Hebrews, the Jews, and the Amalekites are involved in vehement battle. And the text describes that as long as Moses holds his hands high, then Israel, they prevail. They're victorious. But don't you know gravity after a while begins a heavy pull? Have you ever tried to just stand with your hands held out for any extended period of time? They get awful heavy. And through the natural aspect of gravity, then Moses' hands and arms begin to sway and they get heavy because they weigh down. And as they go low, we see down, as the text reveals in the valley below, that Israel, that has been victorious while the hands have been held high, now as the hands hang low, the Amalekites begin to prevail over the Israelites. And on the scene comes two helpful people, Aaron and Hur. They put a stone under Moses to prop him up, and then one gets on one side, the other one gets on the other, and they hold up the arms of Moses there. And in verses 10 down through 13, we see there Moses standing high on the mountain with a rock under him, and he's got Aaron on one and Hur on the other. And what happens? Israel prevails. And they're victorious. Thank God for the assistance of others. What a blessing it is when we are benefited in regard to others that are going on in our life. When we pray and we're upheld for our family as we pray for them. We pray for the church, and we pray for the lost, and we pray for the hurting, and we pray for the sick, and we pray for the leaders, and we pray for all of these folks. And we know that we're not in this by ourselves because we're praying in this together, just like Moses there as he stands on that mountaintop, and Aaron and Hur are beside him, and they're helping. That persistence in prayer. I think right now, you might even have it in your pocket or written down on a piece of paper in your shirt pocket or something. But I have right now my prayer list. And the person or the thing that is on the top of the list is not necessarily the most important thing on that list, but that list contains the people and the things. I don't know exactly if we started to compare lists whether every one of our lists would be the same, but I imagine there would be similarities on that list. And I understand, and I agree, and I believe that the more people praying and the more prayers prayed will bring about greater results. I believe that. Otherwise, why do we say, please pray for me? Paul emphasized the importance of doing this and doing it together. We're a mighty army in service of the Lord. And as we join together with our sword held high, our mind fixated upon that which is spiritual, our mouths and our hearts, they pray and we pray together. Lastly, in this text, notice there's intercessory prayer. And Paul is not only calling for us to pray for others, but notice, as we read just a minute ago there in Ephesians chapter 6, that he said, as you pray for others, he said, pray for me as well. You know, when I think of the Apostle Paul, what a great man, what a fantastic preacher, one of the greatest Christians that have ever lived on the face of this earth, and yet he still said, I need you praying for me. Paul understood the blessing of having others pray on our behalf. Folks, just take and think about this for just a minute. What kind of blessing is it when another individual pauses in the midst of their busy day and their busy schedule, going here and going there, and they stop and they pray, and the subject of their prayer is you? Thank you. I can't think of many greater gifts in all the world. I think of Jesus as the greatest example in Luke, the 23rd chapter, suspended between heaven and earth with nails in his hands and his feet, a crown of thorns around his head, having been stripped of much of the flesh along his back, and now he's gasping for every breath that he could have to maintain life. And the words that come forth from his mouth are, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. For all saints, there is the prayer. Folks, prayer is powerful and is a powerful part of our Christian growth. May we not go into battle without it. My challenge to you today. This morning, are you subject to the Lord's invitation? Have you heard the Word? And we have proclaimed and studied much of God's Word, not all of God's Word, but much of God's Word this morning. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, verse number 17, that you would believe it with all of your heart. For Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Repenting of our sins that separate us from God is paramount. Paul, in his sermon on the Mars Hill, said, I tell you, he said, God winked at this ignorance, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. If we confess Him here on earth, He will confess us before His Father, which is in heaven. But if we do not confess Him here on this earth, or here and now, He will not confess us before His Father in heaven. Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33. Baptism, we can't go to heaven without it. We understand the importance of being baptized, for Acts 2:38 says it's for the remission of sins, the forgiveness of sins. Galatians 3:26 and 27 tells us it's the means by which we get into Christ. And living faithful every day and in every way, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. There Jesus is said, as John quoted him in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. It's my prayer today that you're living the power of petitionary prayer. Not only that, but you're living the life of Christ-likeness. And if you're not, then come back to Him today. He will forgive you. He will love you. And if that's your need this morning, that you'll not wait a moment longer, but you'll respond to His invitation. As together we stand and as we sing.